Cowboys fall to the 49ers. News at 11. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. This one actually was a little closer than the last matchup. Cowboys actually made this a bit of a game. Seemed like the 49ers in the fourth quarter, after a dominant third quarter, basically just started to play this prevent defense, and I think they went a little too far on that because they allowed CeeDee Lamb to score two touchdowns, which was basically just wide open in the end zone. And all of a sudden, San Francisco said, oh gosh, we actually have to win this game. And to the Cowboys, I guess, credit, they had the ball with 3 minutes left to go, and they went four and out. Four passes, none of them successful. That's it. You lose. Good day. And I think the Cowboys' season is over.
Yeah. On the flip side, by the way, Isaac Arendo, I don't know how they fit him in with McCaffrey. Feels like he could be a star. Like they, I mean, like a 100-yard rusher a game. He was just gashing the Cowboys, which is a story as old as time.
Yep.
Even if the Cowboys were fully constituted, they can't stop the run. Felt like, I agree with you, the Niners probably should have run away with that. I think Cowboys, I've lowered my expectations so much on them. The fact that they didn't come out and roll over immediately, it was like, that. All right. All right, Mike McCarthy, you got him going in the right direction, because that Lions game was such an utter embarrassment that to come out and at least compete for, I don't know, about 2.5 quarters, that's the best I can do right now with this Cowboys team.
Yeah, just give them an extension. Final score, 30-24.
Dude, they're throwing a football to Gavonte Turpin, who's 5'8 out of the USFL, is their number two wide receiver. Their defense, basically, they're relying on rookies on the defense, rookies on the offensive line. Like, why would we expect any more from this team? Like, what is it that you see? Like, just because they paid Dak a bunch of money doesn't mean their roster's not thin.
No, it's not good. And this idea, though, that they're going to run off and start this run and take something from this game, and all of a sudden we're going to see this 5-game winning streak or something like that. No, I'm sorry. No evidence of that whatsoever. They've been blown out more than they've had close games this season. And even some of the ones that final score looked close, like the Ravens game, we know was not close at all. So to me, this was the stick a fork in a moment. I know the record isn't so egregious here.
Just this was more of a stick in the fork moment than the Lions loss.
The Lions loss was terrible. I mean, that was checking the temperature of the meat. This was sticking a fork in it. I don't know. It's degrees of just being over. So that's where I think things stand for the Cowboys. EJ, do we have some poll results, though?
Dude, so we asked a question earlier in the show, can the Cowboys still make the playoffs? So right now we're sitting at 75% say no, they cannot make the playoffs. 25% say yes, they can.
And the thing is, we were talking about the NFC, right? And is the NFC actually gangbusters, or is there going to be some room here for some mediocre teams to sneak into the playoffs? I don't even think Dallas is going to be one of those mediocre teams to sneak in.
Well, they're 3-4. So let's look at the odds here. Now the Eagles and the Commanders are going to probably win the division. The Cowboys are too far behind. So can they get, will 9-8 get you into the playoffs? Probably not. And it looks like I don't have the odds. Do you have the odds?
I don't.
Van for me.
But I'll tell you this.
It feels like they're definitely, it's a long way to make the playoffs. But I do think 9-8 is possible for this team.
So four division winners, obviously, and three wild card teams. Okay. That's how you make the playoffs. But I'll ask you. It looks more like two teams from the NFC East would be the Commanders and Eagles, at least sitting here today. Two teams from the NFC North, Detroit, Green Bay. Maybe Minnesota also hangs on here. And now Jordan Love has a groin injury, so maybe it's Detroit and Minnesota. I don't know. Well, some combination, two teams out of the NFC North at least. NFC South could get two teams in. Now, Atlanta beat the Bucs yesterday. They now swept the season series against the Bucs. So that is probably a wrap for the division. But Tampa's still sitting there at 4-4. And then I present to you the NFC West. And if you know what's going to happen to the NFC West, then head to Las Vegas right now. Cardinals are 4-4. 49ers are 4-4. Seahawks are 4-4. And the Rams are 3-4, coming off an encouraging win against the Vikings on Thursday night. So,
well, I feel like the Niners have that one. That one, I feel a little more confident.
Well, but they've already lost two division games. I don't know.
That feels like of one of the more sure things is the Niners, based on history. I'll tell you one thing. All right, so the Cowboys, by the way, plus 300 to make the playoffs, minus 400 to not make it. So 3-1 to make it. I think the Bucs could be in big trouble without Godwin and without Evans for a little bit. Like, they have a tough run coming up here. And I think the NFC West is just as likely to be bad as to get a second team. Unless the Rams really get it together, I'm not scared of the Seahawks or Cardinals at all. So I think there's a possibility, it's slim, that 9-8 could sneak in play. It'll probably be 10-7, but 9-8 could do it. I mean, the Cowboys are 3-4. Like, 9-8 is not impossible by any means, and they're getting a lot of people back. And Deron Bland will really be back. Like, they could get a lot of defensive guys back. Maybe the young guys like Overshawn continue to play well. I just wait till they get in the NFC East schedule. Like, what did you expect there? You expect them to go into San Francisco and win against a healthier Niners team? Were you really looking at that game and be like, geez, this is an opportunity for the Cowboys?
Well, if you're ever going to get the 49ers, this was the time. Because, yeah, they're healthier, but they're not healthy. And yet, the bottom line is, you're in this game, improbably, in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left to go, and you have the ball. So, win the game. I mean,
but you did have to get a touchdown, and obviously the Niners were protecting against that. They were letting him move.
Okay, but this happens in the NFL every week, and I hate to bring up the contract in times like this, but what'd you pay for? And I know Dak Prescott had a good game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You say, all right, well, he, you know, basically won them that game at the end of the game, so maybe it's a wash. I don't see it that way, though. You had a chance here. And again, if you're ever going to get the 49ers, this was the time to get them, and instead they got you, and they probably really could have put you away much earlier than they did.
By the way, what quarterback is throwing to that receiving core with the single worst rushing game in the league is going to do better than Dak Prescott? Not a single one. Not Lamar, not Josh Allen. Like, those receivers stink, Maggie, and you know it.
855-212-4227. Can't argue with you there. Let's get to the NFL in 60.
Maggie and Perloff take you around the league, recapping this weekend's football action. Time for NFL in 60.
All right, EJ, throw out a game. We'll tell you what we think.
Fly, Eagles, fly. The Eagles beat the Bengals in Cincinnati 37-17, spoiling the whiteout in Cincinnati.
I think obviously Saquon Barkley's getting all the headlines. Devontae Smith is such a huge part of this offense. When Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown are on the field, it's like Jalen Hurts looks like the same quarterback from before. So health is the big story with the Eagles. Will they keep it? That was just a crazy impressive win to me.
Three straight wins now for the Eagles. 2-0 against teams from Ohio, so good job out of you. What's going on with the Bengals? Remember we heard before the season the vibes were bad? Is that lingering now? Because they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and they scored 17 points yesterday against an Eagles team that is not exactly murderer's row defense.
They need T. Higgins on the field so bad, and honestly,
then they should have paid him. If they need him that bad, then just pay the man.
Yeah, but if that guy is not going to come out and really be totally available because he didn't get paid, like, that's kind of a quiet, did you say it's a quasi holdout going on here? If that's the case, like, hey, you're sunk. But when Higgins and Chase get barreling downhill on a team, they're great. That was not the case yesterday. Although Burrow started off like a house on fire. They just made a couple mistakes that killed him.
To quote Jameis Winston, it was that white boy in Detroit that inspired me, talking about Eminem. It was Jameis Winston's deep touchdown to Cedric Tillman that helped the Browns beat the Ravens 29-24.
When he said that at first, it was that white boy in Detroit that inspired me. I was like, no way he's going to shout out Dan Campbell right now, right?
Or Jared Goff.
Yeah, I was like, wait, oh, Eminem. Yes, that makes a lot more sense. You get one shot. This is a case in point where the team should have listened to the fans weeks ago. Deshaun Watson, no one wants him to get hurt, but it's total addition by subtraction. And for the Ravens, they still had a chance to win this at the end of the game. Their defense is a problem. Kyle Hamilton's dropped interception, Perloff, will probably haunt them for a while.
Yeah, no, I think the Ravens are going to be fine. Know who's a huge, huge difference maker being healthy? David Njoku is, I mean, you have to get within 4 feet of him and he's pulling that ball in. He's a huge weapon. I still think it's too late for these Browns and they probably should have lost that game. But Jameis was fun to watch, I'll tell you that.
So someone say that watching Jameis Winston be your quarterback must be like watching Uncut Gems. I was like, very accurate. Let's go to Detroit, where Eminem is from. The Lions pounded the Titans 52-14. This game was over before it began.
Well, actually, you know, the Titans came out with some real offense. I was like, oh my God, Mason Rudolph. Like, this guy, like, they should have started. I actually said to myself early in the game, they should have started this guy from week one, and they might be a playoff team, as you predicted, EJ. And then something happened. The Titans offense just totally stalled, and the Lions poured it on. They're America's team. Nothing else to say about them.
No, the Lions are amazing, and just this could have been way worse, by the way. You know, they didn't score any points in the fourth quarter because they completely let up. This is 52 points they scored in three quarters. Three quarters. This was sportsmanship, winning 52-14. That was them being good sports. Titans, worst team in football? Them and the Panthers? Who's next?
Let's go to Miami, where it was a late field goal. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, bro.
That game was 14-14 at a certain point. Like, that game was a game for a little while.
Last week against Buffalo was a game for a little bit. That's why I hopped on the treadmill and then couldn't get off because I'm superstitious. But the Titans are not a good team.
Titans are good for 10 minutes in the game.
And then they quit.
So let's go to Miami, where there was a late field goal for the Cardinals that helped put Arizona ahead of Miami 28-27.
I mean, I think it's really nice of Miami to treat opposing quarterbacks this nicely. Everyone talks about Tua's health, and everyone talks about Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle for good reason. They're exciting, but they've been trying so hard to actually create something on defense, and it's clearly not working. They are a rebuilding team with no chance to rebuild it because of the way their contracts are set up, and there's nothing good coming out of this.
Yeah, Tua played well, but I don't know where this is going. On the flip side, you know, for all the Kyler Murray slander that's been out there, and a lot of it was self-inflicted, but the homework clause and all of that, listen, the guy finds a way in the fourth quarter, and they're 4-4. They're totally alive in the NFC. We don't take them seriously because their defense is not good, but this is a big win.
I mean, I would say this is their, they're 4-4. I'd say three of them are miracle wins. Like they obviously should have lost this game. Like if Miami had any real quality, they were up 10 in the fourth quarter. You could see the slow collapse of the Dolphins defense. And then Arizona definitely shouldn't have beaten San Francisco, and they probably shouldn't have beaten the Chargers.
They're outlasting these teams, though, and I feel like Kyler Murray is a big reason. I think he tires defenses out.
Is this design or, well, I mean, the schedule hasn't been tough. Is this design, though, or is this luck? That's what I think. I'm very curious to see. That's a team I actually will watch now in the 4 o'clock window because there's nothing else on.
Okay, let's go to New England, okay? Man, I don't even know where to begin. But no Drake May, no problem, apparently, for the Patriots, who beat the Jets 25-22.
There's a stat about this. So they let up 247 yards and had no turnovers. They're the first team to lose in the Jets in that spot ever in the history of the NFL.
Amazing. Like
it was a creative loss.
This, I'm sorry, for Aaron Rodgers to say we've got to just make peace with the darkness or we got to be in the darkness. I mean, just stop. It's over. Stop with the sayings and stop with the silly stuff. It's just over.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I'm sorry, EJ.
Let's go to Tampa, where the creamsicle uniforms were not enough for the Bucs, who lost to the Falcons 31-26.
Crazy game, as we would expect. Any NFC South game of this caliber is going to just be absolutely wild. The fact that the Buccaneers were still able to mount a comeback here. I thought they were winning this game. I really did. It's a credit to the Falcons being held scoreless in the fourth quarter, but still being able to hang on. That defense might not be bad, bro.
Which one? Atlanta?
I think Falcons is a little bit better defense than we thought.
Yeah, that game was wild. What a shootout. How many crazy, weird fumble plays. Baker, still big numbers. I just don't trust the Bucs now that they don't have their offense. Bucky Irving, by the way, had one run that was totally sick. I love that guy. I feel like, as I predicted, Atlanta is going to win this division.
You were right about that.
Let's get down to Jacksonville, where the Packers lost Jordan Love, but still won the game 30-27 over the Jags.
By the way, Malik Willis, my favorite player in the NFL. And I just love the way this Packers team plays. I think they're fine. Like, remember, they were gangbusters coming the second half of last season. They really picked it up. Josh Jacobs looks sensational. I think the Packers, that's a big win considering Jordan Love got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers won four in a row now. Big win against Jacksonville. Losing Love, though, a groin injury where Matt LaFleur is saying it's definitely serious. And
Playing with it. I mean, they didn't pull him out of the game after the injury happened.
No, he eventually couldn't protect himself, they said, and he had to take himself out of the game. And the reason why I think this is serious is because you've got the Lions game looming now. It's coming up this weekend, this upcoming weekend. And so that's huge because this is your first of two with the Lions, and this is the one in Lambeau. So you want to win the division. You've got to win these games against the Lions.
When did the Packers last win the Super Bowl? Well, they were a wild card.
That's true.
I'm not scared of that.
It was two TDs for Ladd McConkey, who helped the Chargers get past the Saints 26-8 at SoFi.
We haven't talked about this game yet. Well, why can't the Chargers block at all? Was this really the final score of this game is not how this game went. This is the Chargers pulled away late, and I know because I had bet on this game, so I was watching it particularly closely. And for some reason, the Chargers offensive line prof was getting overwhelmed by the Saints defensive line. I didn't understand it. I thought the offensive line for the Chargers is supposed to be the secret sauce here. They got multiple first-round draft picks on that line. I know one's a rookie in Joe Alt, but still.
I find something about the Chargers interesting. Like, Justin Herbert, they complain about the hits on him, but he just will not go down. So it's like a weird one. Like, you call roughing, like, he will never, ever, ever, under any circumstance, hit the ground. So guys getting shots in there. So, of course, the Chargers looks like they have wins. I don't see Herbert staying healthy anymore. Like, what did he limping around at one point,
well,
they say?
At one point, one of the Saints defenders literally takes his leg, and it looked like a move out of EJ's WWE. Like, just rip, and then, you know, then the Chargers offensive lineman got all over him. But
then, like, five plays later, Herbert broke a play in the, broke a tackle in the end zone. Like, he didn't care. He's just like, I'm bigger than you. You're not taking me down. So I think, like, I think he might want to get rid of the ball a little bit.
The Bills make Maggie want to shout. They beat the Seahawks 31-10 in Seattle.
To be honest, didn't see this one coming, that it was going to look this easy for Buffalo. But a couple things. Keon Coleman is really adjusting nicely to this Bills offense, and they ran the ball well. The James Cook-Ray Davis combination is exactly what you want two running backs to be. Cook is kind of the shiftier guy that they can give the ball to a lot, and Ray Davis is like the bowling ball guy. And Josh Allen threw his first interception of the season, but ultimately it didn't really hurt them too much.
Yeah, there was a great two plays. Seahawks were at the goal line. One snap went a good 15 feet over the quarterback's head. Then they got down back down the goal line, and they had fourth and one at the one, and Geno Smith took one step back, and the same center stepped on his foot, fell down. And the Seahawks feel like they, I mentioned earlier in the show, have real trouble lining up and calling a football play.
Geno Smith is 6'3". You're right. That ball went so far over his head. Like, how do you? I couldn't even understand the launch angle on that thing. How'd you get it so high up over his head?
Bryce Young returns to the line for the Panthers, but it didn't make much of a difference as the Broncos beat Carolina in Denver 28-14.
Has there ever in the history of the NFL been an easier schedule than the Denver Broncos? I actually don't even have it in front of me, but every time 5 o'clock, hey, let me check in on Bo Nix and the Broncos, and they're playing one of the bottom five teams in the league. This is incredible. They're going to make the playoffs and be a 17-point underdog in the wild card game.
Well, the party might be over. At the Ravens, at the Chiefs, then the Falcons, the next three.
Falcons are okay. Falcons got blown out by the Seahawks.
That's true. You know, the Sean Payton trick plays, though, you're right. Yeah. I mean, he is really not making any friends on the second tour here as a head coach.
Yeah, but guys winning, when you win, you can do anything. I just don't know how good that team is. It's really weird. There are a couple plays where Bo Nix will look like a pro quarterback, then he'll make a terrible play.
Chiefs beat up on the Raiders in a game that was way more competitive than we expected, 27-20 in Allegiant.
I am shocked that the Raiders made this such a game because they had talked so much trash, and I thought the Chiefs were going to try and pour it on, but the Raiders were right there.
Yeah, rivalry game. They had talked a lot of smack about Mahomes, but you also saw DeAndre Hopkins had a couple big catches, exactly as we predicted. Just a sideline, keeping drives alive, everything that we thought he was going to be. It's not a big volume of catches, but he'll be making impactful plays, probably not lighting up the stat sheet. Chiefs win again.
Feels
Chiefs
like
undefeated.
Kelsey's right? Like that storyline's gone. Yeah. He was really good yesterday.
Let's go to the game of the weekend, Commanders-Bears.
Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse! Barrios in Landover, Maryland.
He did it.
Unreal finish. Unreal finish. The Hail Mary. Controversy about what it should be called.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Caleb Williams was having one of the worst NFL days you could possibly have, then got hot at the end. Like, who is Caleb Williams? I'm very curious moving forward.
Well, he's a rookie quarterback playing on the road, you know? I think that you're going to get a little good, a little bad. He has 10 for 24, yeah. 131 yards. It's like, it's not a standout stat sheet day.
All of that was late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, is he closer to Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels? That's what I'm not even sure about yet. In that offense, like, he's never going to have huge yards.
Probably not, but he's got some weapons. I think he's closer to Jaden Daniels if you're asking me that question. But one of the all-time two boneheaded mistakes that the Bears made, one on offense, one on defense. On offense, handing it to an offensive lineman at the goal line trying to get cute when you are in position to take the lead late in the fourth quarter. And then the second boneheaded decision was on the defense where Tyreek Stevenson is too busy talking to Commanders fans, doesn't realize the Hail Mary play has started. Jaden Daniels had already run three laps by that time. And then he's the one who ends up tipping the ball directly to Noah Brown.
And finally, the QB that ran out of gas and the team that proverbially ran out of gas, the Colts lose to the Texans 23-20, 285 yards passing for C.J. Stroud.
There was a big play where a big guy in the Colts got a fumble, ran it back for what looked like a touchdown. Everyone thought it was a touchdown. They said that he was down. When he got the fumble, Joe Mixon brushed him. I do not understand how the Texans keep winning. Explain it to me, Maggie Gray.
I don't know. they're not a great offense, but they win these games. And, you know, credit to them because they should have been up by way more in this game, but they're just not. Stephon Diggs ends up leaving the game with a non-contact injury. Obviously, they miss Nico Collins.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even judge him too much without Nico Collins, who's their 1A receiver. They're a different team when he's out there. So he's going to be, they were saying during the telecast yesterday, he's going to be back. So,
but this is not a C.J. Stroud MVP situation like what we thought going into the season. Now, listen, they could be there for the Super Bowl. I'm not discounting that. But the other part of this, too, is Anthony Richardson. What do you do with this guy now? So Anthony Richardson is not only inaccurate, he has very little awareness of game situation, and he took himself out of the game because he was tired.
Well, you got to play him, though, to see if you have anything. Like, you could, yeah, you might win 9 games with Flacco, but you can't just... There are plays that he makes that are crazy. Like, his arm is insane. Jumps off his hand. You're right, he's totally inaccurate. But you got to play him. What, are you going to bench him for Flacco now?
I'm just wondering, are you trying to develop him a little more behind the scenes? I mean, his rawness and how green he is just shows constantly. 855-212-4227. All right, that's the NFL in 60. We get back to your phone calls. Any game you want to talk about, up for grabs. We're trying to cover everything after a busy weekend. Coming up, oh boy, it's getting bleak for one team. We'll tell you who next. Maggie Perloff.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Hi, welcome back to Maggie Perloff. I was wondering, the Jets-Patriots game felt a little buried yesterday, that 1 o'clock window, right? I was thinking, like, huh, like, it feels like Aaron Rodgers is just an afterthought. That game was so bad. I thought the Jets were going to win, but if you know, they know exactly what's going on here this season. Like, they had to know Greg Zuerlein had no confidence in a kicker. Like, they just had to know it. And halfway through the game, it's like, oh, crap. They have to game plan around him. And they have to, like, they needed, like, Rodgers. I think they thought they had the game won and took their foot off the gas and let the Patriots, of all teams, sneak back in that. Should have won the game, obviously. One of the many games they should have won. And they lost. But afterwards, I guess, Rodgers, as you'd expect, was a bit prickly, Maggie.
Yeah, Rodgers, man knows about the darkness, which Jets fans are now living in again. Here's Rodgers on making peace with the darkness.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there, make peace with it.
All right, Batman. If you're asking me what the bleep is Aaron Rodgers up to today, I would suggest drugs. This is the time when I would advocate for it because I'm not generally someone who advocates for drugs, but we know he's taking them anyway. This could be the time to take a little more, maybe dial up the dose, because nothing's getting you out of this version of Jets hell. Is a very different version, a different darkness when it's the Jets. This is not some fun Costa Rica vacation where, you know, you sit around with a tea ceremony and get out the, you know.
I'd rather fight Bane than be on this Jets team.
Okay.
It's so bad. You're like, yeah, and Greg Zuerlein, the kicker, sure, he needs to not be on this team anymore. You're right. But Aaron Rodgers was hailed as the guy who was going to fix everything. And you know who told us that? Aaron Rodgers.
Let me ask you a question.
He hasn't fixed jack.
Let me ask you a question. If you're the Jets, would you not bring back Rodgers next year? Or would you try, I don't know how exactly you did it. Like, are you committed to next year?
Definitely.
There's only one way Aaron Rodgers could make this all right. Is if after the last game of the season, he grabs a mic, walks into 50-yard line at MetLife Stadium and says, thank you guys for your time here. I'm officially retiring as Jets quarterback and quarterback in the NFL. That's the only way he can make this right. He has only brought misery, suffering, pain, everything imaginable to this situation since he stepped foot into that facility. And I don't know how. How could it get worse than it already was? Somehow it has. Somehow it has.
Your thank touchdown you, Aaron Rodgers. Favorite in Foxborough and lose.
Thank you, Aaron Rodgers. I'll be waiting for your retirement speech. Abated breath. That's the only time I'm going to have any joy with this team anymore.
You understand he's throwing 35 touchdowns somewhere next year. Because did you see him at the end of the yesterday's game? Did you see him limping? Openly limping. Like, he's not trying to hide anymore. That dude is not healthy. And he will be healthy in a year, and he's going to play till he's 45 years old. I'm telling you, Rodgers is going to chase this thing.
Okay, but here's the thing, EJ. You want him to retire. He's got Devontae Adams there.
For now.
You've got Lazard. You've got Hackett. Head coach has been fired. You didn't save his job. I mean, this whole thing is all circling around Aaron Rodgers. He's the son, and everyone revolves around him. My question is, so Hassan Reddick, so that's what it's going to be? Number one. Number two, why is the defense so much worse?
It's not. I don't think it's ever really been that good. Now, Jermaine Johnson getting hurt, I think that ended the season. I think people didn't realize just how much thin they were on that defensive line. So I think the Jermaine Johnson injury, they haven't overcome. And it's an overrated defense that's declined. CJ Mosley is hurt. Sauce Gardner, if that guy gets voted for an all-pro team, then I want to go to the Radio Hall of Fame next year, okay? Because I never seen a guy do less, get more praise than Sauce Gardner. I mean, he wants to work on his golf swing. He's going to have playing time. He should start mid-season. The season's already over. Might as well hit the links right now, Sauce. Go out there, get that swing ready. You're going to have playing time because you definitely ain't playing in the playoffs.
Wait.
I mean, Kayshawn Boutte couldn't catch a cold in the North Pole, and he still burned Sauce down the field for a key play.
By the way, you realize how bad the Patriots' offense was. Like, they didn't do anything. They didn't move the ball once, except for the two drives.
I don't know. Jacoby Brissett looked nice and comfortable.
Yeah, he was going bam for bam with Aaron.
They passed for 130 yards in the entire game, and they couldn't really run the ball either. Reminder, I mean, the Jets' defense played easily well enough to win. Easily well.
But they also allowed the game-winning touchdown. Oh, touchdown or field goal? Touchdown.
No, touchdown, yeah. Which that's the funny thing about this game, too. I also don't think that was a touchdown. I also think Garrett Wilson probably caught that ball, and I don't even care. I don't think any Jet fan cares. Because I watched those plays, and I'm like, oh, his elbow was down. Looks like he didn't get in. And then Garrett Wilson's on the ground, the ball, and then the guy knocks it out already when he's down. I was like, that looks like a catch. It's like, you know what? They don't deserve to win this game. They've done nothing to win this game. They can't execute anything. They can't execute a two-point conversion. They can't pin the punt on the one-yard line. The guy's standing right there. The ball flies right over his head. And my friends are sitting there watching me watch. They're laughing at me because I'm like, my team can't execute anything.
Well, how about you score a touchdown at the end of the game, the second to last possession, right? You know you're going for the 2-point conversion. How do you get a delay a game on that? I mean, it is just, and that's Rodgers, EJ. That's Rodgers.
They wasted their first three timeouts in the first quarter. First quarter, they had no more timeouts. I mean, this is some high school football stuff. I could watch North Bergen High play next week, and they would have a timeout going into the second half. They wouldn't waste them all in the first quarter.
What's your record if you had a good kicker?
It doesn't matter, Pearl.
Well, I mean, why were you going for 2 points in the first place?
Well, they needed to.
Zuerlein missed an extra point,
but they need to go to 2-point conversion anyway. But
you're right, Zuerlein missed an extra point.
But you know the problem though, Pearl, is even if they win those games that they could, they in theory should have won if Zuerlein makes kicks, This is supposed to be a Super Bowl team. What do you see about this team that looks Super Bowl caliber? They were going to get smoked in the first round, or they were going to get just choked at the end of the season, even if Zerline was good. This is not a good team.
Rodgers could barely move 3 feet. What did you expect?
Right. That's the problem.
But he's hurt.
Jets would be 5-3 instead of 2-6.
They've outgained most of their opponents by like 100 yards.
They're so unfundamentally sound, Pearl. Like, good teams, they don't beat themselves the way the Jets do week to week. That's why I can't play the result of, well, if Zerline makes kicks. They're not making kicks because they're not coached well. The guy snaps the ball on the first extra point and he doesn't spin the laces. And you already got a bad kicker and you have him kick the laces. I'm like, what do you think is going to happen with Zerline in this win? Like, they do have issues in terms of fundamentals. That's one right there. Like, there's nothing about this team that's done well. And that's why I can't go with the, well, if he kicked field goals, they'd be good. No, it just means that they would just collapse at the end of the season like they always do. It would have delayed the inevitable.
I'm trying to remember remember we had a tarot card reader come, Angela? She's been with us a couple times. What did she say about the Jets?
She said it may start slow, but hang in there. It will be good, but then the end of the season would be like heartbreak. I don't know if she meant this slow. This is this is like not getting out of starting blocks.
Did she mean 2-6? 2-6, 2-5.
I'm telling you, they're going to be fine in 2025.
Oh, boy.
They're getting a new coach.
Don't give them hope, Pearl.
No, I really think we're going to make the same mistake next year. They're going to bring in Ben Johnson or something crazy. Rodgers is going to do this whole thing again. You guys will fall for it 100% because you're both suckers just like I am. And we'll pick the Jets to make the playoffs. It's all happening again.
Wow.
It's like an infinite loop.
No, I think it's actually your read on this was the correct read going back to last season where everyone was really excited about Rodgers before the Achilles. And you're like, no, but it's still the Jets. And you're fighting upstream against a lot of bad history, bad ownership, all that stuff, just mentality not in the right place, you know, putting too much of an emphasis on the wrong things.
I think you guys are drastically underestimating the state of Rodgers' lower body. Like, I think it's really hard for him to play 60 minutes of football.
You might be right about that.
He was limping like me on the basketball court on a Saturday after that game last night. Like, the guy is really hurt. Anyway.
Let's get to Manny and the headlines. Manny, what's up, sir?
Did you guys know baseball is still a thing?
I think the baseball game outrates the football game tonight. I'm being dead serious. Because
that's not what I thought you were about to say.
Whatever.
Perloff said to me in the break, he goes, man, things really turned on New York, huh?
Yeah,
like, yeah, that Liberty Parade really feels like ancient history. Now you got the Jets are in the darkness. Giants have to play the Steelers tonight, so we'll see how that goes. And then the Yankees are down 0-2 to the Dodgers.
All right, cool. So everybody knows what's happening? Cool.
Wait, what are you guys thinking?
Sorry, Manny.
Sorry, Mr. Yankee fan over there.
Sorry.
So Yankees-Dodgers getting huge ratings. Do you think it could outrage? Because I think Giants-Steelers is one of the worst matchups of the season. Like, the odds of getting more than 1.5 touchdown passes are very low. A do-or-die baseball game feels big to me.
Wait, Manny, you've been in with us all morning, and we'll get to the headlines and stuff, but you're a Yankee fan.
Unfortunately.
Well, okay, but, you know, it's not over yet. Who and where is your frustration lying with? Who do you feel like is wearing it right now for the Yankees? Who do you blame the most for being down 0-2?
We only have 22 minutes left in the hour. I mean, the glaring one to me is the hot take. It's Aaron Judge. I mean, the guy he can't hit water if he was standing on the dock in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
That's the largest ocean, by the way. He's been awful. He's just been awful. He looks
Aaron Judge.
That guy has been awful. Looks lost at the plate. For him to go from being an MVP caliber player to just an absolute zero is just so disheartening. It's you need your best players to step up. You know, he's the captain of the team. Derek Jeter would step up in these types of situations. Aaron Judge has not. He's got to wake up. And for him, after game one, to say, yeah, you know what, we just got to get in our zone, this, that, and the third. For him to go out the next day, go 0-4 with what, 2 strikeouts, 3 strikeouts, for the entire team to go 1 hit for 8 innings? If it weren't for Juan Soto getting around one, they'd be going into the ninth getting no hit. Come on, man. Additionally, in game one, Aaron Boone deciding to go with a guy who hasn't pitched in 5-6 weeks.
Nestor Cortez.
Instead of Tim Hill, who has a funky delivery, who could definitely, he got the job done against Shohei Ohtani, did Nestor Cortez, great. But I mean, again, I'd rather have Tim Hill in that situation. He's got that delivery. He's got like a three-quarter sidearm type thing going. He was the one that I thought, he was warming up in the bullpen as well, and he decided to go with Cortez. Boone also has to get some blame for this. Carlos Rodon, please keep the ball in the ballpark.
I have a question for you. Going back to game one, what do you think of the controversial decision to intentionally walk Mookie Betts to get to Freddie Freeman?
I have no problem with it. Get the lefty-lefty matchup. It's baseball. That's what you do. I have no issue with it. But again, I'd rather have Hill have that matchup against Freeman than the guy who hasn't pitched is since September 18th or whenever he went down with the elbow injury. It's not good. Aaron Boone, like I said, Carlos Rodon, Gerrit Cole maybe could have done a little bit better. He pitched all right in game one. 88 pitches. Aaron Boone taking him out early again. Anthony Volpe looks lost at the plate as well. He'd been batting so well in the ALDS and the ALCS.
So everybody.
Yeah, it's not
basically everybody.
Yeah, and listen to his evil laugh.
Listen, series isn't over.
Yeah.
The one thing about, I think what people don't understand, though, a little bit, is like, Judge is going to hit better in New York.
Yeah, sure.
Because the ballpark is smaller. And I understand that, but you realize he's been horrible in first innings with runners on.
Mm-hmm.
He's been horrible.
Clayton Torres and Juan Soto are consistently on base in the first inning, and then here comes Aaron Judge, and you can mark up a K on your Bob Carpenter.
But here's the thing, and Perloff, this is to your point about people being interested in the series and whatever. If Aaron Judge strikes out in the first inning, they're going to boo him. The home field advantage is not, I think, what people believe.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think you guys are getting a little too analytical. Like, honestly, Saturday night's game easily could have been the Yankees. I feel like the Dodgers are getting loose in the bullpen a little bit. I don't think this is nearly as over.
It's not over.
Yeah, I think the overstatement seems a little rich to me.
Manny's just depressed. Hey, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do some more headlines with Manny in just a moment. See you guys on the phones as well. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. You got to go in there, make peace with it.
It's Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
I don't know. These like philosophical things that Aaron Rodgers is talking about, they just don't land the same when your team is 2 wins on the season and you just went to Foxborough and lost to Jacoby Brissett. Doesn't hit the same.
You can say whatever when you win, you can be Nick Sirianni and say whatever you want. When you lose, it all sounds bad.
It all sounds like take a hike.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter what you say. It kind of matters what you do. Unfortunately.
Yeah, and so far Aaron Rodgers not delivering for the New York Jets. We have a poll out there for you at Maggie and Pearl on X. Can the Cowboys still make the playoffs? That's going to be a resounding no from y'all. 73% saying no, 27% say yes. One person pointing out, yes, mathematically they still can.
They have a huge game. It's Atlanta, right? This week. That's a huge, huge game. Not to make the playoffs, but just to, like, that's a great chance to prove, okay, we're not the laughing stock. Like, honestly, that's where we're at right now with the Cowboys.
Speaking of laughing stocks, before we get back to Manny's updates, Santos is in Arkansas. I did not mean that the way that it came out. Santos in Arkansas wants to talk about the Saints. That's where I was going with this. Santos, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're good.
Awesome. Yes, I'm hoping that New Orleans gets a brand new coaching staff because this particular coaching staff, they suck.
Yeah. They do.
They really do suck. And I'm hoping that New Orleans can at least win 5 or 6 games this year, but it's not going to happen.
Well, you know what? To be honest, Santos, the more games you win, the worse it's going to be because you definitely have to be in the running for a quarterback because yesterday Spencer Rattler was benched for Jake Haener. That's a depressing sentence I just uttered. Now, Derek Carr is going to come back from injury, Pearl, but I don't know. He might mess around and win you a couple games. That can't be better for the overall plan here.
No one on earth knows why Dennis Allen was brought back this year. So Mickey Loomis, I think, is part owner of the team at this point. There's no future here. And his best friends. I think he's the executor of the family will who owns the team. It's a mess. They got to start over. There's no doubt about it. Remember when they were 2-0? That was exciting.
I do.
That was really
exciting.
Remember when
they beat the brakes off the Cowboys?
Yeah.
In Dallas.
Then everybody got hurt. This is really bad for them.
Manny, back to you with some updates. We got a little sidetracked talking about all your gripes with the New York Yankees.
Well, speaking of those Yankees, the World Series continues tonight. Game 3 from Yankee Stadium starts at 8:08 Eastern Time. The Dodgers lead the series 2-0. Shohei Ohtani is expected to play after suffering a minor dislocation of his left shoulder while getting caught stealing in the 7th inning of Game 2.
I don't see him being compromised. It's the left shoulder, which is the back shoulder. So I don't see how that affects his hitting, if he's able to go. I really don't.
That was Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Thus far in the Fall Classic, Ohtani is 1-for-8 with a walk. Walker Buehler, he gets the ball for the Dodgers tonight. Clark Schmidt goes for the Yankees. As for number 99 in pinstripes, Aaron Judge, he's 1-for-9 with 6 Ks thus far in the World Series. He's batting 150 this postseason, 85 strikeouts in 55 career postseason games for big Aaron Judge.
Is that bad?
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, Manny. Wait, so is Ohtani's definitely playing, though, right?
That's what Dave Roberts says he expects him to play.
Okay, and they don't expect the shoulder to have any issue, because that was
not a
hold-your-breath moment. The whole series could have turned off of that.
Yeah, very much so.
By the way, our own Andrew Kaplan weighing in the chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, says to the Yankees, yeah, you're not playing the trash Royals and Guardians anymore.
Thank you, Cap. Speaking of those trash Royals, their catcher, Salvador Perez, he has won the Roberto Clemente Award. But with that, I would like to talk to you about the Sawamura Award. It's the equivalent to the Cy Young Award in the Nippon Baseball League. And for the first time since 2019, there will be no winner of the Sawamura Award. Now, there are 7 criteria that must be met: 15 wins, 150 Ks, 10 complete games, a sub-250 ERA, 200 innings pitched, 25 games started, and a win percentage of 600. The 5-man selection committee that consists of former pitchers narrowed the field down to 2 men: Shohei Togo of the Yomiuri Giants and Kohei Arihara of the SoftBank Hawks. But according to committee chairman, Japanese Baseball Hall of Famer Tsuneo Horiuchi, he said, in the current era where pitchers are at an advantage, we would like for them to improve on their performance a little more. So that's why we don't have a Cy Young Award winner in the Japanese Baseball League this year.
Huh.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto, he had won the award the previous 3 seasons. So I ask you guys, could you imagine a year in which we don't give out an award because nobody deserved it?
America, no.
We will find an award to give to you. We love celebrating ourselves.
That's kind of like, Maggie, you called for a tie in the MVP race between TJ Watt and the best quarterback in the NFL. It's the same principle, except the exact opposite.
Except more awards.
Less awards. Right, like give it to nobody.
Right. I always think more is more. I'm a Jim Harbaugh kind of person. More is more, not less is more.
Yeah.
It's weird, though, you have that very specific criteria.
Yeah, 7 criteria. You got to have at least 15 wins, 150. I mean, I guess it narrows down the pool, but yeah, I mean, just 2 guys also, this year, and they thought, nah, we're good.
They realize it, you know, wins.
Who needs those? 15 wins?
I mean, you know, that kind of depends on the team around you, right?
Very quickly, Monday Night Football tonight, Giants at Steelers. Daniel Jones is on national television again, so on behalf of Giants fans, I am sorry, America. The Steelers look to improve to 6-2. They are 6-point favorites. Back to you guys.
Yeah, I thought ESPN had a flex on these Monday nights now. Is it just later in the season?
I think it's later in the season.
Yeah, I mean, they should flex this one out. I'm really disappointed. I do not want to watch this game. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, good thing you got the World Series.
Yeah. I'd rather a better football game to go with the World Series. Do both.
I'm okay with it. It's always the games we never see coming, you know?
Oh, my God.
You don't think this game could be tight? Who are the Steelers blowing out?
It's going to be 15-12, and Daniel Jones is going to throw 2 picks. Russell Wilson is going to, I don't know what he's going to do. Yeah, you know, I'm curious. I really have no idea.
Russell Wilson?
And by the way, Fields got hurt last week. I didn't even realize that. Did you guys hear about that? I don't even know if he's going to dress tonight. It's a hamstring injury. So if the Giants' good defensive line gets to Russ, that could be ugly too.
There's a million reasons to watch the game tonight. Plus World Series, bro, you're crazy. Man,
I like a little offense, Mag. You know that.
That's true. EJ Stewart, thank you so much. Next to Nick Theodoro, thank you to Manny. I already said thank you to you. Andrew Kaplan as well. Weedo's coffee drinkers. See you tomorrow.